go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. And Jesus, open our hearts to hear what you want us to hear. And Lord, open my mouth to speak what you want me to speak. And I thank you for this in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Garrett, would you please give me Psalm 22 up on the board there, the same scripture that was read today? Psalm 22 was written by King David. King David was a prophet. And as Gordy read today from the New Testament, all scripture was given by the inspiration of God and the men who wrote the Bible. And by the way, when they talk about scripture, they are specifically talking about the Old Testament, because at that time they didn't have the New Testament yet. The whole Old Testament was given by the inspiration of God, and the men who wrote, wrote under the anointing of God what he wanted them to write. King David wrote the 22nd Psalm. He also wrote the 23rd Psalm, which you all know, one of the most favorite psalms there is. And he wrote the 24th, and he wrote others. But the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th Psalm are all prophetic psalms that go one after the other. And the 22nd Psalm talks about the crucifixion of Christ. And boy, did the Holy Spirit tell David what to write. It is a perfect picture of Christ's crucifixion. The 23rd Psalm talks about the resurrected Christ now, who is with us as we live on this earth. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. We are living in the 23rd Psalm right now. And the 24th Psalm talks about Jesus' return, and he sets up his kingdom on earth. 22nd, 23rd, 24th. He died on the cross for our sins. He's with us now, and he's coming back. Well, when Jesus was on the cross, one of the seven last statements that he spoke was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, I've shared this before, but in Judaism, the religious leaders memorized whole books of the Bible. They had to, because they didn't have a little Bible that they could carry around and read from. Their whole schooling from pre-kindergarten, and they started school third when they were 3 and 4 years old, right up until high school. And then if they wanted to go on and become a rabbi, they continued studying. They memorized books of the Bible, and they all had the Psalms memorized because that was their hymn book. And all somebody had to do is say a first line of one of the books of the Bible, and these religious leaders knew everything that followed, everything. And I've done this experiment before, but if I would say, Jesus loves me, this I know, what do you think of right away? Yeah. What a friend we have in Jesus. There you go. That's what the Jews did. But they did it through the whole chapter. Well, Jesus is on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And right away, their minds went to Psalm 22. Right away. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he says, God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Ever had that for a few moments? I mean, sometimes we might feel, I've heard people say, oh, God is so far away from me. Well, when we feel that, that is simply a feeling because he has promised to be with us. But when Jesus said it, it was not just a feeling. God had forsaken him. You've heard people say when Jesus was on the cross, God turned his back on him. Jesus isn't just saying, I feel forsaken. He's saying, God, why have you forsaken me? Now, at that moment, Jesus was hanging on the cross as a man, as a human being, totally without the Holy Spirit. Jesus was on his own. Now think about this. Had Jesus sinned at that time? Had his attitude toward the people crucifying him turned to hate? Had he denied God at that time, we would all be lost. Jesus had to experience a life, even if it was only a short time, totally apart from God. And you know what that kind of a life is? Totally apart from God? That's hell. There is nobody on this world today who is totally apart from God. Now, there may be people that hate him, people that are serving false gods, people that are into Satanism or witchcraft, and yet they are experiencing the blessings of God on this earth. But Jesus was forsaken by God, and Jesus experienced hell, because that is what hell is when God is not there. And he did that for us. Now, he did not have a life of sin, so his habits were not towards sinning. And he knew God, but as a man hanging on the cross, he was experiencing life apart from God, and he had to keep from sinning. And he did it. Wow. We could do it too, if we wanted to. We really wanted to. Because we all have the Holy Spirit in us. Elijah did it. Enoch did it. Moses failed here and there. But these two, Elijah and Enoch, taken right to heaven. There might have been other people that has happened to. It's not in the Bible. But all of us here, you know, we are not perfect, myself included. But God loves us, and he looks at us as though we've never sinned because we have Jesus in us. Then Jesus goes on. Well, anyway, Jesus doesn't say this anymore. But David, as a prophetic writer, wrote this. Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Jesus is hanging on the cross and groaning. And God is far away from him. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. The night that he was arrested, he slept nothing that night. They kept him awake all night. No rest. He cried by day. That day he's hanging on the cross. He's talking to God, but God does not answer. Sometimes we might feel God doesn't answer us, but God hears us, and he does answer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait, but he's there. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. So even though Jesus felt Jesus was forsaken by God, his attitude toward God was, but God, you're holy. And you live in the praises of Israel. Do you know that God lives in our praises? If we would praise him more, we would be more victorious in our everyday life. God inhabits. He lives in our praises. You find that next time you might be getting frustrated or angry or discouraged, if you just stop right there and say, praise the Lord. Jesus, help me. Be with me. Oh God, you're holy. Thank you, Lord. And watch what happens to your attitude. It will change almost immediately. And if you do it a few times, pretty soon it will change immediately. Just the next time you find yourself getting frustrated, angry, disappointed, depressed, doesn't matter what it is, just stop. Lord, I need your help. Thank you for being with me. And praise him. And watch what's going to begin to happen. Garrett, if you would go on. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Jesus is talking about the prophets. The fathers were very important in Israel. And the religious leaders regarded Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those, and the prophets, they regarded them very highly. And Jesus is putting himself right there with them. And the Jews are seeing that Jesus is referring back to the prophets, and Jesus is referring back that he's one of the children of the prophets, of the fathers. But I am a worm and not a man. That always puzzled me. Why would Jesus refer to himself as a worm? So I decided this, as I'm preparing for this sermon, I better study the word worm. But I am a worm and not a man. And I found out that worm was an expression of Judaism that meant the end and frailty of mankind. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and it's the end of his life, and he's frail. His body is giving out. I am a worm. But there's something more there. You see, in Hebrew, there are four words for worm. Three of them are used in the Old Testament. One of them is maggots, and in our English Standard Version, it actually say translated maggot. The other one is moth, the worm, the cocoon that a moth has. And then there's a third worm that's used in the Bible. It's a tola. And this worm was used by the Jews to get the scarlet color that they put in the temple. And what they would do with this worm, they would gather up these worms and boil them. The worm died. And as they boiled the worm, this scarlet color would come forth. And they used that scarlet color to actually put it in the hangings in the temple. It was the scarlet used in the temple. In some places in the Old Testament, in Exodus, you will see this word for worm, tola, followed by another little word that says secondary or second or other. So the other stuff that comes from the worm, or the secondary stuff from the worm. And when that word is used in Hebrew, it is actually translated scarlet in our Bible. The scarlet color. That word also means the scarlet thread. And the Jews, as I've shared before, on Yom Kippur would take a scarlet thread and tie it on the door of the temple, and then they would let loose the scapegoat. And the scapegoat carried the sins of Israel away, and that scarlet thread would turn white. The Hebrew writings write about that. And they also write that when Jesus died on the cross, they don't say that. They say 40 years before Rome conquered Israel, destroyed the temple, that thread stopped turning white. So Jesus, when he's hanging on the cross, I am a worm. I'm at the end. I'm frail. I'm dying. But what is coming forth from me is the color scarlet, and I am the scarlet thread. I am the one who is carrying your sins. Wow. Right there. Very special. Jesus carried our sins, and it's his blood that covers us today and takes away our sins. I am a worm. I'm the scarlet thread. I am the covering for your sins. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. And as we read in our gospel today, the people at the cross wagged their heads at Jesus. They said, let him come down from the cross. If he's the Son of God, he trusts in God. Let's see if God will deliver him. And right there, the Jews are doing exactly what Psalm 22 said they would do to this man hanging on the cross. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died for our sins, and he rose that we could have eternal life. We're going to continue on with Psalm 22 next week and take the next few verses and look at them and see what this psalm is saying about Jesus and his crucifixion. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Oh, Lord, help us, God, to become more victorious over the sins in our lives, God. Help us to praise you more, Lord. And help us, Jesus, to know you even more fully than we already do. And we ask this all in your wonderful, precious name. Amen.